This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program don't reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. This is the In the Garden program, show produced by UC Cooperative Extension Master Gardeners of Orange County. I'm Chris Bonner, your Master Gardener host for the hour. This morning we have a really interesting, fun program. We're actually going to give you an insider's view of the Master Gardener program. It's been around since 1981, and what we want to do is share with you how it got started, what we do, and how you can connect with Master Gardeners to help with your gardening needs. My guest today is Sharon Stolen, the program coordinator for the Master Gardener program in Orange County. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Chris.
Sharon's been leading the Orange County Cooperative Extension Master Gardener since 2002 and has grown to be one of the top Master Gardener programs in the state. Spring's always busy for gardeners, and I know that's especially true for Master Gardeners. What are some of the upcoming events where the public can meet Cooperative Extension Master Gardeners?
Oh, I'm so glad. That's a good question, Chris. This week at South Coast Plaza, in the Crate and Barrel wing of that mall,
right,
we will have a garden show. And it will have a booth there where Master Gardeners will have questions answered and all kinds of things for children to do. It's a great time to come out and bring your families.
That's really a big show. I know there's lots of vendors there in addition to the Master Gardeners. And that is, if you're a gardener, that's a great place to be. That's the South Coast Plaza, the Crate and Barrel wing. What else is going on?
Well, our Speakers Bureau is very active at this time of year. We are at Shipley Nature Center. We're teaching compost classes. We do soil classes. We have things going on at Going Natives down in the south. Mm-hmm. We are all around town.
That's wonderful. How about at the Great Park? Is anything going on there?
Yes, we do have Saturday workshops at the Great Park as well. Some of the dates run May 14th. We're teaching rose care, and then continuing on in June and July.
Terrific. I know that something's near and dear to your heart is childhood education. Tell us about the Master Gardener Youth Gardening and School Garden programs.
Well, that's one of my favorite things because I'm a teacher by trade. So when Master Gardeners were interested in getting school gardens going, we were quick to jump in. And we have a group of Master Gardeners that are experts in this area of teaching schools and the committees of a school, the parent-teacher association, the parents, the janitors, the principals, the teachers, the children, all that come together as a community to have a small garden, and we are able to help you know the ins and outs of what that entails.
So if there's somebody who's involved, it might be somebody with the PTA or just a mom or a dad or a teacher, do they have to be Master Gardeners to be able to set up and run a school garden program?
Oh, no. We'll help them with all the materials that they need, and they can come to us. We can even come and do a site visit. We'll teach them how to write grants. We'll show them ways to incorporate their garden learning into the core of their curriculum. We've got all kinds of things to help them be successful.
I mean, there's so many different ways with the kids to incorporate math and reading and writing and following directions.
You can teach everything from the garden.
That's terrific.
It's a great place to be, and really hands-on learning. Those have been so successful with that have taken even this very small garden, even from a wheelbarrow. You don't have to have a large piece of land to begin a youth garden.
So a lot of Master Gardeners are involved in the youth gardening program, and these are the Master Gardeners that have a heart for kids that really want to get involved.
They do. They do indeed. And we have a garden here at South Coast Research Station that will even be used for teachers as demonstration for irrigation or for seed transplanting or to show them what they can do with art in the garden. We want to teach teachers. So we offer workshops for teachers and parents to come. We will come to the school. We do all kinds of different things to help you get a garden started in Orange County.
That sounds great. Master Gardeners are all over Orange County. I know we have over 75 projects where we're volunteering. And we've talked about a couple of the upcoming events, but let's talk about some of the other things that are going on throughout the county. What's going on in North County?
Well, we just finished the Big Green Scene, which is a nice, again, another garden show where people come together and have all kinds of booths.
At Cal State Fullerton?
Mm-hmm, yes, at the Arboretum.
Uh-huh.
And they have a lovely arboretum there where Master Gardeners will do docent tours some. We have, when they have their sales. We are not a part of the sale, but we will be outside often teaching tips for how to take care of a tomato, how to take care of their vegetables.
So Green Scene, Veggie Palooza, and so Orange County Master Gardeners are there to answer questions.
Yes, we love to give you advice to how to be best practices for gardening.
Terrific. I know in the central Orange County area, we've got an awful lot of programs going on. Tell us about some of those.
Well, at Santa Ana Zoo, we again have a garden that is for the community to come in and see what's growing and edibles. And then we have children's activities. One's coming up in May for the children, and we will have a seed planting experience there. They're expecting hundreds of children to come out that day for the zoo.
Oh, that's always fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, kids just love to play in the dirt anyhow, and giving them something to plant and watch their plants grow, that's a lot of fun.
Oh, and it's very fun because we've now discovered that you can plant a seed in an ice cream cone cup.
Oh, really?
And then you can just transplant that at home, and they don't even have to disturb that little baby plant.
Oh.
It just goes straight in the ground.
Make it really easy, don't you?
Yes. Well, we have to think smart these days.
Well, that's right. So there's the zoo. How about the Braille Institute? I'm not familiar with that, but I know we're doing something there.
That's a great small venue where master gardeners come in and teach those with limited sight or no sight how to garden. For example, if you don't know if your plant needs water, you can stick a pencil all the way in and then pull it out and feel it. Is that wet or dry? Then you know I need to add water. There's so many tricks that we can teach people with limited sight how to be successful in their garden. And we use plants that are soft in texture and have a lovely smell so that they have an enjoyment of their garden.
That's great. I mean, gardening really is a very satisfying pastime for a lot of us, and making that something that's available to blind people, that's just wonderful.
We don't want to leave anyone out of the gardening experience.
Great. What else do we got on the list here?
Well, we have several rose gardens that we help maintain. Yeah. One is at the Irvine Heritage Museum. It's near the little white library in Irvine off of Jamboree.
Right.
And then the other one is also called a Heritage Museum in Santa Ana.
Okay.
And it both have lovely rose gardens, and we are helping teach rose pruning and how to care for roses and when to fertilize and bugs to watch for.
So if people Google Orange County Master Gardeners, they'll find a website, and they've got dates and locations of all these things?
Yes, we do. On the website, we'll look to see when we have our rose pruning events.
So if I've got roses at home and I wish they were blooming more, I can find one of these rose pruning workshops and go find out how to do it better so improve my garden.
Yes, but those would typically take place in January.
Right.
Because that's the time to prune a rose.
So not all events are available, not all activities are available year-round because it has to follow the gardening calendar.
Which is a very active calendar for Southern California because we garden 12 months out of the year.
That's right. Seeds of Hope, that's another interesting one in Costa Mesa, I think it is. And it's really a unique kind of a program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, our master gardeners are propagating plants that they give to their SOS clients and Seeds of Hope clients that come in and are getting a second start. And so we want them to be successful with putting healthy foods on a table and having a small garden in their home. So we really want to provide plants and then the tips of how to grow them in that
venue. So Seeds of Hope is a resource center. They've got, it's like a food bank. There's other types of community support activities. So in addition to the food, our Seeds of Hope support, actually, we grow these plants. So they give away plants to the people so they actually can have fresh produce in their house to augment the food that the food bank part of this is given out.
Yes. And that's how master gardeners are around the county. We come alongside other projects and support them as well. We're happy to look into new and upcoming venues. With the drought, that has opened up a whole new game for us because people are wanting to learn, do I have grass? Do I not have grass? What do I do and how do I plant and move plants that I want to be drought tolerant? What does that mean? There's so many questions that we can help you answer.
Maybe the biggest venue that we do during the summer for Master Gardeners is the Orange County Fair. Tell us about that.
That's a busy booth. We are in the Centennial Farm area,
right,
of the fairgrounds.
Where
the barn is. We have a booth, and our educational materials are there. And so if people are interested, they can stop and look for us in the farm area, and we will answer your gardening questions and give you, if you're not a gardener, but you just have a pest that you want to learn about. Some of the conversation in the news has been about the mosquitoes. What can you do to keep your home free of mosquitoes so that you don't have mosquito bites? And we can tell you about termites. We can tell you about the latest insects and the invasive pests. So there's a lot of information to be gleaned from a master gardener.
Oh, that sounds great. So we haven't talked about South County yet. What are some of the projects that Master Gardeners support in South County?
Well, in Casa Romantica, we have docents, again, that work with children, and then we have other kinds of activities sprinkled throughout the year for them.
Right, so Casa Romantica in San Clemente above the beach there.
Yes, it's a lovely sight if you haven't been.
The views are spectacular and the gardens are lovely.
That's a nice place to garden.
Well, that's really become a community center for a lot of activities in San Clemente, and I think it's just great to have the Master Gardeners there too, interacting with the public.
Yes. And another reason that we like to be all around the county is twofold. We want to serve all the residents of Orange County, and it's a traffic issue. We want Master Gardeners to be able to volunteer in a local community near their home and impact their community and be a part of that community in encouraging best practices and not have to drive to just one central location that takes them an hour and a half. So it serves both the volunteer and the community for us to be all around Orange County.
That's great. Well, let's
one of our new South County, I do want to mention, though, is Going Native. And there'll be lectures and talks at this Rieta Park.
In San Juan Capistrano?
Yes. And I'm looking for, I haven't actually been down there.
Well, it's a new event, isn't it?
It's brand new, and, well, new to me and new to Master Gardeners Serving. So we're looking,
so
they have an event.
So that might have just happened, I'm not sure, but it's going to be every spring in San Juan.
Yes, but they will also have talks all summer long.
So, oh, terrific. Mm-hmm,
so watch for that. It's growing and exciting.
Well, one of the things I wanted to do, though, is maybe just take a step back and look at the Master Gardener program as a whole. Maybe give us kind of a little bit of some kind of top-down perspective about what the Master Gardener program is and a little bit of information generally about it.
Yes, it's a little well-kept gem, a little secret program within the university because we have so little money for funding to market ourselves. So we are a University of California, so we're Cooperative Extension. We're a part of the UC system.
Right.
But it's a little confusing because we're a land-grant university, and we don't have a land-grant university right here in Orange County.
Okay.
We have UCI. So often, when we say we're a part of UC, people will look for Master Gardeners at UCI.
Because that's how they know UC locally is UC Irvine.
Exactly. And then we're on the radio show even today.
Right. Which is part of KUCI.
So think of us like a big family. We're just all related, but we're a different arm or a different, you know, we're a layover college because we're out of the three colleges, Berkeley, Riverside, and Davis, the land-grant universities.
So it's like the 11th campus, an overlay campus for the UC system that covers the whole state, really.
Yes. Way back in 1862, President Lincoln started land-grant universities in each state. And so our state is so large, that's why we have three.
Okay.
So then from that, we have agricultural and natural resources.
Okay.
So people don't even understand A&R. You say A&R and they're like, what? Too many acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
But that is where your veterinary schools are and your horticulture schools and those kinds of hands-on education comes out of Davis and Berkeley and Riverside.
So Master Gardeners is a part of ANR, is a part of Cooperative Extension that just focuses on supporting part of the public, the home gardeners.
Yes. So in reality, our scientists are doing the research to find the best practices for growing strawberries, or if pitahayas do well down here, or blueberries, what's happening. Then as Master Gardeners, you take that and extend it to the public. We are the outreach arm of the university for our scientists.
So it's all research-based, science-based information that we provide. We're not pushing a style or a flavor of gardening.
No. And we teach it all. If we think that, for example, we're sitting here in Neve Quinn's office, and she is our vertebrate pest expert. She's phenomenal. She's off now in Davis, but we know her as the rat whacker.
Okay, so that's one of the vertebrate pests we talk about.
Yes, and she's really busy. She will train 60 people next week on this new issue with coyotes, and you hear it on the news. And so she does the research of why we're having coyote problems, what we can do as residents to protect our dogs and our children, and how to interface with that wildlife. She also works with rats and knows the difference between all the different rats and why one rat would be a problem here or there.
So she's the expert. She's got the degrees and the educational background, the experience. So she's the expert, but then she makes the information available in a variety of ways, one of which is through Master Gardeners to help get the science-based information out there so that home gardeners can figure out how to manage and control these pests in a way that they can enjoy their gardens.
Right. We are the first hands. She teaches us, and then we take that to the public. But also, if you would go to our website, you will find her papers and some of the quick tips for taking care of ground squirrels and those kinds of things. So she is busy writing and researching, and we then help her get that out to the public.
So who are these master gardeners? What's the profile of them? What are they, what kinds of people become master gardeners? Do you have to be a really good gardener to become a master gardener, or a certain kind of personality?
Oh, that just makes me smile. The best thing about my job is the master gardeners. They are a diverse group. You don't have to know that much about gardening, but you have to be interested in learning. And what we teach you from the first day, they're overwhelmed. You look like you have deer in a headlight, but you're drinking from a fire hose.
Okay.
Because we show you how big the world of horticulture is, and botany and physiology, and we don't want you to have to learn and memorize all of it. We just want you to know where to go for good information that is pertinent to our Mediterranean climate. You can't just assume to grab a gardening book. It might be that they've geared that to the Northwest and it snows and they have chill hours and you don't. So you've got to know what you're doing and where you're doing it and the climate. So our master gardeners come from all over. They're transplanted here. Maybe they've retired here or they've moved here. They're young, they're veterans, they're retired. We have all ages. We have all different walks of, we have lawyers and dentists and teachers and just all kinds of people. But all they care about is, one, they have that united interest and love of gardening.
Right.
And two, want to share that information with others. So I would consider them life learners.
Okay, so life learning, so continuing education. Before we get there, so how does somebody become a master gardener?
Well, it's tricky. It's kind of like getting into college these days.
Really?
Yes, because we have limited space.
Okay.
And I work part-time, so we can only have a controlled growth of how many master gardeners we have. When I first started, we had about 80, and now we have 300.
Oh, my.
So we have a great retention rate. We train 25 to 30 almost every year, and that is a process. It takes 50 to 80 hours of class time And you just graduated.
Just graduated. So I went to an information day last summer, and I understand there's information days coming up this summer for the next year's
yes.
class.
Yes. Two information days are held, and you have to come to one, not both, but you must come to one, and that's where we hand out applications.
And so then you fill out an application, and it's a competitive process?
Yes, in the sense that I have more wanting to be volunteers than I have room. And
just,
so that's the least favorite part of my job. Yes, it is. We just meet you, you meet us, and we tell you about our program so that we know it's a good fit. Because if you just want to learn about how to garden, we can show you how to come to classes. We can get you hooked up in a community college. There's lots of things around to teach you. But if you're interested in volunteering, then it's a fit for you.
So you apply, you get accepted, then you take 15 weeks of classes that covers the full spectrum of gardening background and information, and then you're a master gardener. So what happens then? What's expected of a master gardener once they've gone through the training class?
Well, there are a few things along the way. We did give you a test.
Right. I remember that.
And you have some practice things. And we have homework, and it is a rigorous class, actually. But after that, we wouldn't graduate anybody that didn't understand that they are, in fact, a University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener, because you are a part of the county and a part of the state and a part of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important that you understand your roots for you to grow. But after that, graduation, you volunteer 50 hours the first year, and then 25 hours after that. But every year, you have to have a minimum of 12 hours of our university education.
So tell us about that. It's free. It doesn't cost anything additional. These training classes that are provided, these continuing education classes for master gardeners. That sounds interesting. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we want you to be the first detectives, as you will, for the public. So we have to take our time to invest in you and teach you just exactly from the scientist so that they can take it to the public. So we spend our time, those 12 hours, in various venues giving you opportunities to learn in irrigation or integrated pest management, insects, weeds. We have a lot of areas that we can cover.
What makes a great master gardener?
Well, they need to be open to learning, and they need to be interested in sharing.
Terrific. So your job, you've been leading the Orange County UCCE Master Gardeners. It seems like a really cool job. How did you get into this?
I just was fortunate. It's my privilege to be here with master gardeners and see how they educate the public. It always changes. And I was a teacher before we moved to California, and I did not want to work full-time. And this job was part-time. I understood the university system. I'd worked for Kane County in a different science program in Illinois. And it came up, and I didn't really know anything about gardening, but I knew a lot about working with volunteers mm-hmm. and about the university system. So it was a learning curve for me, and I've learned from master gardeners as much as I've taught them to do the processes of the UC. I will say the beauty of it is that it's always changing. Just like the garden is growing and it's never stagnant, a new class will come in with fresh ideas and say, hey, have you thought about this? And then we can say, no, let's try it. That's how we ended up with a radio show.
And here we are today.
And here we are.
And here we are today. You mentioned that when you started, there was 80 volunteers, and now there's over 300. A lot of volunteer organizations have really been struggling to attract and maintain volunteers and keep their programs vibrant. Obviously, you're outpacing a lot of them, going from 80 to 300 volunteers. So tell us a little bit about that. What's been going on that's made this such a successful volunteer program?
Well, again, I think it's that they're interested in education, and we have these scientists that are their teachers. And so we have a great staff that work with them, and they love to learn, so they are interested in one area, and then, oh, I didn't even know about citrus. I might want to learn about citrus. So then they move over. There's a lot of options. You can work on the hotline, and then, oh, I'm kind of done working from home. My children are older. I want to get into the Speakers Bureau, and so they can come to Toastmasters. We have so many different ways that you can volunteer and areas that you can move around, and it's a minimum hours of 25 per year once you're established. I think it fits in people's lives, and they want to stay with us so that they are on the cutting edge of best practices.
You mentioned the hotline. So people can ask questions. How does that work?
Oh, it's a great project. Our Master Gardeners are a group that are dedicated to research, and they love to look up your questions. So you can go onto our website, and there's a little place to fill out your question. You can submit it, and they will get back to you with an answer. And if they don't know the answer, they go to our scientists, or they work together to find the best answer. And then they'll email you back. So
do people actually phone in, or is this mostly email, or what's the mechanics of this?
We used to have the phone, but we found that because our master gardeners were not manning a phone during the work hours,
right,
that they were leaving these messages that were incomplete. So we put a little survey on the website to help us help you, because one question might lead to another. If you have a plant that's sick, it might be underwater, overwater, it might be a pest, it might be a disease. We need more information. So this little survey will help us help you better.
Right. So these master gardeners, they don't have to know everything?
Oh, no. And to be honest, they never will, nor will we all. It's just too much. It's too big. But we do our best to get good answers. And like my John Kabashima, our just retired horticulture advisor, said often, it's too much water or too little water.
That's most of the problems in the garden,
know,
isn't it?
Yes. But it's knowing which one and how and to watch the plant.
So gardening detectives may be another description for master gardeners.
Indeed.
So just kind of that love of learning, but also love of figuring things out and wanting to know why things happen or don't happen in the garden and help other people. So kind of that combination of kind of a love of figuring things out, love of gardening, but also liking to help people. It seems like that's a big part of the hotline job.
That is the hotline, and it's not a large group, but a steady group. And often master gardeners that have just graduated are a little nervous to join our hotline.
Right.
But we have a way where they can go in and look and see what's questions and frequently asked things so that they can learn until they're comfortable doing that research themselves.
That's great. What are do you know what some of the most common questions or issues that people, what are the hot topics that we seem to get over and over again in the garden that people are asking a lot about?
Well, that would be seasonal.
Okay.
So we're moving into tomato season, so there'll be a lot of questions about what's eating my tomato.
Oh.
And so we will answer lots of tomato questions, and then we'll move into the insects, because our insects will population, and we'll have white flies, or we'll have other kinds of insects that are bothering your roses. So we will answer plant questions that way.
Great. Let's take a short break now. You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org online. This is the In the Garden Show, produced by UC Master Gardeners, and I'm Chris Bonner, your host for the hour. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. We've got a lot more information about gardening if you Google OC Master Gardeners or Orange County Master Gardeners. You can find out about weeds and pests, ornamental plants, edibles, with lots of photographs to help you in your gardening. We've got month-by-month gardening tips and information about soils, fertilizers, compost. This is also where you can find where you can find Master Gardeners and different workshops or events or venues that are going on right now. So if you have a particular question, you can access the hotline there on the website. If you're looking for a speaker for your group, this is also a great way to get connected. This week's topic is an insider's look of the Master Gardener program. My guest is Sharon Stolen. She is the program coordinator for the Orange County Master Gardener program. Now let's return to our interview with Sharon. Sharon, tell us about the Speakers Bureau. You start to get into that a little bit, and that's, I guess, a big thing that wasn't around when you started. Now it's pretty popular, I understand.
It is popular. It took a few years for us to get it off the ground because we wanted to equip our master gardeners to speak to audiences. Just because you loved a garden doesn't mean you're necessarily comfortable with talking to an audience.
Right.
So we worked around that, and we developed a few programs that were consistent with our research and started small with basics. And then from there, we created a Toastmaster group within our Master Gardener program just to equip and make them more comfortable with talking to the public. And after they are comfortable with that and maybe attend, we might start them with a small group. There might be a garden club that was 10 or 15 people, and they would be comfortable with that. And then once they are comfortable with that, we would move them to 50. And then I have other master gardeners that are comfortable talking to 500 now.
Wow. I know we give presentations and talks all over the place. The Home and Garden Show at the Anaheim Convention Center coming up. Mm-hmm. I think it's May 20th through the 23rd. We've got some presentations we're making there.
Yes, we do. We give about 150 talks a year now.
So what are some of the topics that we talk about? It's kind of broad.
It is broad. But we have, you know, that's it. We have a website on our Master Gardener website, and there's a list of talks that we have.
Okay, we'll give you a second to take a look at that. So if somebody wants to speaker for their organization or event, they go on to the website, and there's a link there off to the left to request a speaker for your organization.
Yes, that's exactly. That website is your key to finding us.
So I don't think of gardeners as necessarily being great public speakers. So it sounds like both the Toastmasters and also developing standard presentations. So it's not just some guy getting up and talking about his garden. It's actually a science-based presentation.
Yes.
Of information that's coming from the University of California.
It's a process because we have to vet those presentations and our handouts through the group of master gardeners that create them together, and then we have our specialists and scientists look at that before we give it to the public.
So the fact that so much effort's put into, one, making sure the content's good content, and then second, preparing the master gardeners, and over 150 presentations a year, it sounds like Orange County Master Gardeners are in pretty high demand from the public.
We are. And so I would recommend if you have a program that is interested in having a guest speaker from Master Gardeners, you give us as much time as you can because it is a volunteer program, and we have a person that helps take those requests and then find a speaker to match and then, you know, hook them up, and it takes a little time.
So there's 325 Master Gardeners in Orange County. There's 6,000 statewide in almost every state, every county in the state. How is the Orange County program similar or different than the Master Gardener programs in some of the other counties, do you know?
Well, we work together because our goal is the same, to extend outreach science-based material. But by county, your needs may be different. And so a smaller county may have different needs, and they may just be at farmers' booths and at other little small places. And we're teaching urban horticulture, and so L.A. and San Diego, we have different needs. So we are county-based and meet the requirements or the needs of a county.
So if a master gardener has been certified in another county, wants to move to Orange County, or an Orange County master gardener is moving someplace else, maybe in the state or maybe out of state. So is there reciprocal agreements or arrangements? How does that work when master gardeners move around?
Well, once you're a master gardener, you're a part of the county, a part of the state, and a part of the nation. And if you move to New York, they would be happy, if you were a master gardener in good standing, to take you in under, transplant you, as you will, but you might have to learn their gardening practices and go through a few of their classes. Because when master gardeners move into Orange County, we have to educate them with our natives and our area and our water issues, and our rules are pretty strict for fertilizers and that kind of thing.
And just the plants and the climate and the soils are different too. I know in the class that I was just part of, there was somebody from Oregon, there was somebody from Texas, mm-hmm. there was someone from Santa Barbara, and someone from Minnesota. And, you know, gardening is the same or different, but it's really different from places that actually have winter, which we don't have.
Right. And again, our water, one, we're a little bit short on water, so we're thinking how we can conserve and water wisely. We can still grow plants. We just have to know what we're watering and why and how much it needs. And then also that our water drains straight into the ocean. Not every area has that issue, and we want to take care of our entire environment.
Well, that's a really good point. We talk about water quality and how important that is. Since we are close to the ocean, we all read and hear the warnings about not swimming and surfing after storm events, after rainfall events, because things are washing down mostly from the urban landscape. So it is really important. I think it's becoming more, people are more aware. And so as you see helping homeowners to become aware of some of the urban runoff issues through their garden pesticide use?
Yes, we have several projects that deal with that. In fact, one right here at South Coast Research Station that Dr. Darren Haver finished, and it is a landscapes that has one that was a plain landscape, just like you would see in a everyday home, track home, and then a second one that has been retrofitted to kind of modify your water, and then a third one that has been completely modified to be California friendly. And so we have tracked the water usage and found that you can't just plant California-friendly plants and then just leave them. They need water and care the first year, so your water bill does not go down immediately. And
so you still need to water those natives or those California-friendly plants to get them established.
Yes, and that has been a learning curve for some, because you think, oh, I can do this, but plants need to just be established before. And if they're unsuccessful with the California-friendly, then they just let their lawn go. And
you talk about overwatering and underwatering. I know, like an oak tree, oak trees do pretty well with natural rainfall, but if they get too much water, they're susceptible to fungus and mm-hmm. different types of diseases. And this beautiful oak tree that you've just spent a small fortune on getting a large box planted in your yard might not be too happy if it gets too much water.
Yes, I unfortunately did that with one of my low water plants in the front. It was really, really hot, and I thought it might need a drink in the middle of the summer, and I did. I killed it.
Uh-oh.
But we do have a program called Water Better, Not Wetter, and so that's one of our talks for that we were mentioning early with our Speakers Bureau, and you can look at that. And we do have talks that talk about taking out your grass, and we work with other area retailers that are trying to deal with that. Natives are harder to grow, and so a lot of your large chains do not carry a great supply of those.
I see.
So you have to kind of research.
Yeah, part of that's market demand too, mm-hmm, but there are specialty mm-hmm. growers and nurseries out there that mm-hmm, do carry.
Absolutely.
Down. So you mentioned South Coast Rec, or the South Coast Research and Extension Center here in Irvine. This is really a hidden gem that I think most people in Orange County don't know about. Tell us a little bit about South Coast Rec.
It's 200 acres located in Irvine, and it has been here since the 50s. And we are now boxed in by housing additions, so it really is going to be urban agriculture. But we have scientists that want, you know, Mediterranean climate to find out how pitahayas grow, or persimmons, or the avocados, strawberries. There's so many things growing and happening out here. We have weed research and fertilizer research and all kinds of things going on, but it is a working research station, and so it's closed to the public except for certain times of the year when we do open it up to show you some of the research and give little tours.
So it's like a 200-acre farm that's not currently, but fairly soon is going to be in the middle of suburbia.
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
And we have all kinds of scientists doing all kinds of things here. It's a great place to work. And we have a Saturdays at South Coast started just so that you can come in and see what we're doing. We'll open up 4 times a year. Our next date is in June. So we'll show you little bits that you can take away and take home to your garden information and give you little bits of pieces of interesting tidbits about South Coast itself.
At the graduation ceremony this last weekend that I was a part of, kind of one of the highlights was taking the master gardeners and their families on a tour of the 200 acres to see, you know, the 30 or 50 different varieties of persimmons or the 30 varieties of apples or dragon fruit or and on and on and on, all the different things that are going on. Just seeing these field trials, these things growing that give us information, that give growers information, nurserymen information, homeowners information about what grows and what grows well, what can grow with little or no pesticides, or it's just naturally resilient to that.
Yes, even our weather station is out here. So if you're listening to the weather, it's coming from just in one of the fields out here. We have...
Well, one of the things that a lot of people's sprinkler systems they can be tied into mm-hmm. is the evapotranspiration rates. And so this is actually mm-hmm. one of the weather stations, if you live near Irvine, that you mm-hmm. would tap into in terms of how much or how little water is really needed to keep your plants healthy and green.
Yes. There are 9 stations or 9 research stations in the state, and this is the Southern Research Station, and it's great to have it in our own county.
So Master Gardeners has really been around for a while, a long while, or ancient history. So when did Master Gardening get started here?
Well, it was, again, in 1862 with the land-grant universities.
Right.
And then it developed actually from Washington State.
Really?
Their advisors were so busy working with the local farmers and nurserymen that they didn't have time to take care of the homeowners.
Ah.
And so they developed a program to help homeowners have this same information that was available to the nurserymen and to the small farmer. And this is the same thing we do here. Our advisors work with the farmers here. There's not as many, but there we still have nurserymen, and we have
right.
homeowners associations and all the bigger groups. Master Gardeners only deal just with individual homeowners or the clientele of we don't do the farms.
Right.
That would, if we gave bad advice, it'd be catastrophic. If
Well, that's not what we're trained for.
Right.
That's right. Let's see. So we've talked about the South Coast Research and Extension Center. What are some common misconceptions about the Master Gardener program or Master Gardeners?
Well, a lot of people want free labor.
Ah.
And we're really educators.
I see.
So many people call in saying, can you come and prune, or can you help us maintain a park, or can you help us with landscaping, or can you, you know, give us some ideas? We do have landscapers in this program, but they would not be free to do that. We're limited to just giving you best practices.
So educating the public, and it might be broad like at Orange County Fair, or it might be narrow at a specific garden club where we're giving a talk.
Yes, and if you see us in a garden, for example, pruning the roses, we do care for those roses. We're teaching at the ultimate so that you can come and see a properly pruned rose. And if we make a mistake, then it would be what not to do. But overall, we are not laborers. We have a garden that we may maintain to teach as a demonstration garden.
So edibles, we all, it seems like master gardeners. I mean, there's a couple of other groups we haven't talked about that are kind of allied or tied into master gardeners, and that's the master food preparers and the master composters. I think there's also master pruners, too. So what are these other affiliated or related groups, and how do they connect with master gardeners?
Oh, that makes me smile, because once we got into master gardening, we found that there were other needs, and so master composters have another 25 hours of education on top of being a master gardener, and then practice hours of composting to wear that title. And we've decided to go away from the master term, because actually master gardeners, anyone can call themselves a master gardener.
It's Oh, really?
Not copyrighted. Way back when, they didn't think it would matter. So anybody, anywhere could call themselves a master gardener, but when you put the college in front of it, they can't take that. For example, Oklahoma State would be OSU Extension Master
Gardeners.
That's
why we're UC Master Gardeners.
And that's why we're UC Master Gardeners. But for Master Composters, we work very hard, and we keep that inside. So you have to be a Master Gardener in Orange County to be a Master Composter. But we just call it a compost team. And again, with pruning, we're giving classes of better pruning practices. But we decided there'd be no way to completely master, and we'll leave that to the arborist, but we will certainly teach what to prune when and how to train a young tree, how to teach the public how to plant a young tree, and there's an array of pruning opportunities. But in Orange County, you do see some really sad examples of a hat rack.
Oh, I know.
Trees should not be hat racked.
Back to the composting, I think one of the things we learned in the class was in terms of plant health and beauty, you know, 2 to 4 inches of medium grade compost, wood compost in your garden really makes a huge difference in keeping the temperatures down, keeping the water requirements down, and just having happy, happy plants.
Yes, and then on top of that, you'll mulch. So there's mulch and there's compost. There's so many layers
right.
to master gardening. And we have, out of that, we were having successful gardeners. At one point, people stopped, you know, playing golf as much, and they started gardening. We said gardening is the new golf. And so when these gardeners were coming to us, and they had they'd given away all the tomatoes that their neighbors would take, and they still had tomatoes, we began a master food preserver class.
Oh.
From the master gardeners, we took a few and trained them, and now we have a program that's completely separate from our own, but they teach food safety and food safe canning.
I see.
So our master gardener program has been very active at getting other things started.
So what was the term you used, seed to stomach? Is that what you...
I like that. But wasn't there something if you ate a watermelon seed?
That's right. It would grow
it
inside
would grow.
Of you. So edibles. I mean, certainly, you know, locally sourced and sustainable and growing edibles has, it seems to be getting a lot of press. Have you seen in your tenure leading the Orange County Master Gardener Group any increase or decrease in home gardening of edibles?
I do think that there's interest now, and I think there... This younger generation, there's a lot of foodies, and they want to know where their food comes from, and they want to know the pesticides and what eating locally. I think that's a great idea. And we have the Great Park has a farm and food lab that has had thousands of people go through that little farm and food lab teaching about edibles. And they have a salsa area and a pizza garden and all different seasons and Asian garden. They have plants growing year-round, that blueberries, all kinds of yummy things out there to learn. If you just have a container, we can put edibles and you can grow lettuce on your back patio. There's all kinds of ways that we can help you add fresh vegetables and herbs to your diet.
I know we've got the climate here to grow almost anything, but what a lot of people are short of is space. And so trying to find space for edibles, especially for fruit trees. So talk about that and some of the things that are going on with Master Gardener education to help homeowners take advantage of their maybe slightly smaller space to be able to grow fruits.
Well, if you hang around with Master Gardeners very long, your landscape changes, that's for sure. I have a very small garden, and yet Master Gardeners have helped me create a backyard orchard.
Really?
You can actually put even three small fruit trees in the same hole if you need to, because you're not gardening to glean 500 fruit at one time. And you can graft and have plums all year long if you want six or eight different varieties on one plum tree. So we have lots of ways to teach you how to keep your fruit trees small and manage your backyard with, and have lemons and limes and figs and pomegranates. There's so many wonderful fruit trees that can be grown in Orange County.
And growing things on walls, espaliers.
Oh, yes. I just espaliered an apple and am waiting for my first fruits.
And I think that's really kind of an interesting idea. A lot of the information that's out there on the internet, it's more geared towards farmers and farm scale growing, or people that have acres and acres. And really the whole idea of growing in smaller spaces, that's something that I think it's really helpful to gardeners here in Orange County, mm-hmm. especially just because we are tighter in with our neighbors. We don't have big lot sizes here. And so making the best of the space that we got, absolutely, they need help with that.
Yes.
How about garden design? Do we do anything involved with garden design?
We teach the basics, and we have a group of master gardeners that we called design charrettes, and so they go to a house and they look at a problem, and then they come together and present with the homeowner three different options, and the homeowner can take it or not take it, and sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but they have a great time learning about different ways to approach a hill or a problem. We've not done that with the public at all, but that's something to look forward to, because this program's been going a couple of years, and so we're building a file so that we can put on our website maybe some options for homeowners to have.
I think that'd be great. And again, a lot of people out there are thinking about redoing their yards, and they might not really have the background or the resources to redo a design themselves, but I think having some information that makes them more informed consumers, so they can, they know how to have a conversation with a contractor or a mm-hmm. landscape architect or a designer to help articulate what do they want to do in their garden, and what are some of the fun things that they could be doing in their garden.
Yes, we've, I think, got a Speakers Bureau talk on basics of gardening landscapes, so that's another one to look for. And if there's a topic that the public wants and we don't offer that, we certainly are willing to research it and perhaps come up with a topic. I know recently someone wanted to know poisonous plants, and so we couldn't immediately answer that, but we are researching that to see what we can talk about, and are they poisonous to people, dogs, and in what way?
Well, kind of piggybacking on that thought, the use of pesticides, that's obviously a hot topic, and it's more so now. You know, people are very concerned and interested in knowing what they're eating, but now they're also seeing the importance of having a safe household, both inside and out, in their yards as well as in their households, in terms of what they do to fertilize, to deal with pests. What's UCCE's approach to helping home gardeners deal with pests?
Well, each gardener has to decide for themselves what they can live with. And if they have to have complete pest-free, then you have limits of, you know, what you can grow, because some pests help your garden. You know,
good bugs.
We have beneficials. And so if you wipe out everything, then you've also wiped out your beneficial population. So there's a lot of education that goes into that. But then on the same side, if there is a pest that has been introduced to Orange County and is a threat to our, let's say, our citrus with the Honglongbing, we've got to deal with that, and we want to maybe eradicate that, and so we would maybe suggest a pesticide, or we have other ways to have you know, bugs come in. I can't answer this all in one quick question, but...
So the whole idea of integrated pest management.
Yes.
And the idea isn't necessarily to get away from using any pesticides, but not doing the spray and pray that's common with homeowners of going to the chemicals as a first resort, but looking at things like using water to wash bugs off and figuring out what kinds of insects or things that there are in the garden before we start taking more serious actions. And then maybe finding plants that are less susceptible to different damages or just being comfortable with some level of damage that you can live with.
Exactly. And we do have classes on integrated pest management. A lot of the public wouldn't even know that acronym IPM.
Well, I think it's a really good one. And again, to me, it's just smart gardening to be able to know what are all the tools in your toolbox and how can you use them together in a way. And the other part is pesticides are expensive. And so using techniques that you don't have to go and buy stuff from one of the big box stores to have a healthy, great-looking garden, that's just smart.
Indeed.
Well, before we end the show, is there anything else you want to share with our listeners? Or have we covered it pretty well?
I think we did a good job today, Chris.
I do, too. This was really interesting.
Well, it's nice to be with you.
I'm really glad you could be here. We've come to the close of the In the Garden program. I want to thank you, Sharon, for being here and sharing your expertise.
This is Chris Bonner. You've been listening to my interview with Sharon Stolen, the program coordinator for the UC Cooperative Extension Master Gardener program here in Orange County. Thank you for listening to KUCI 88.9 FM In the Garden Show. Tune in every week, Thursday, 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for another green topic. Following this show is Home Plate.